You are Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
You are Locked On Bears, and I'm your host, Lauren Cox. I cover the Chicago Bears for NBC Sports Chicago, and I cover the NFL for Pro Football Focus. Locked On Bears is your podcast destination for daily Chicago Bears news and analysis. And today we are looking at whether or not the Chicago Bears should rest any starters against the Minnesota Vikings in Week 17 and why potentially maybe they should. We'll also get the latest update on Kyle Long's injury and why he could potentially return this week, if not for the playoffs. And we'll wrap up with a look at those potential playoff scenarios with Week 17's games. Let's start, as we so often do, with the latest out of Halas Hall. And Matt Nagy spoke last on Monday, taking Christmas off and giving the players the last couple of days off, but getting back to work here Wednesday for practicing and getting ready for Sunday's game. And Matt Nagy was asked about Kyle Long, and I know it was something that had kind of come up last week, and they had indicated he was getting closer to coming back, and Matt Nagy added even more fuel to the fire and kind of left the door open for the veteran Pro Bowl caliber right guard to potentially make his return here very quickly and maybe bump Brian Witzman back to the bench. Here's what the Bears head coach had to say at his press conference on Monday.
Matt, how hopeful are you that Long will be able to play this week?
I hope so. I like to use this word, and I do believe in it, cautiously optimistic. I think that he's doing a good job right now. He feels good, and it'd be nice to get him out there.
He'll be given a chance to prove that he's ready. Is it fair to say that this week in practice? Or?
Again, I hope so. We'll see how he does and how he feels each day. But last week I thought, you know, when he was in there, he looked good. But we gotta just kind of keep an eye on it day by day.
So of course, Matt Nagy isn't going to give a totally straight answer on what they're going to do with Kyle Long. I think he believes in maintaining some supposed competitive advantage there, not letting the Minnesota Vikings know if their Pro Bowl caliber right guard could potentially be ready to go. But you may remember in the game last week, he was right up in there in the fight with the 49ers, with Richard Sherman kind of getting in people's faces. He was blocking guys. He looked like he had everything but his pads on. He was pushing with his arms forward and keeping these defenders off of his offensive players, just like he would be out on the field. So it looked as though he was feeling pretty comfortable, confident, and as healthy as he's potentially going to be 16 weeks into the NFL season. Not that his foot will necessarily be 100%, but back to the point where he can push grown men on a football field the way he did at Levi Stadium on Sunday. So it's going to be interesting to see how secretive they are about this and how they start to bring him along. I know he started practicing a little bit or participating in some small fashion for the first time on Friday before the 49ers game. Obviously, not enough time to get him turned around and playing in that one, and I would expect him to be a participant at practice here today on Wednesday as the Bears come in. And because he's on injured reserve, I don't believe they are required to report any details. He doesn't show up on the injury report because he's already just injured and he is a reserve. So they can kind of do as much or as little as they want with him and not really have to tell anybody about it. And I think the media has specific rules about what they can and can't report from practice, which is a whole other debate in and of itself. But he is back to some extent and some capacity of participation at practice. And so I think, obviously, the main factor that determines it is just his health. How healthy is the foot? How well is he moving around? How durable does he feel? Is he going to be able to handle a full game's load of snaps on that injury, you know, at this point in time? That's certainly one factor. Another one, which we're going to touch on in the next segment here, is do they need him back? Do they need to push him back? Or do they want to just give him one more game of rest against the Vikings in a game that could ultimately not have any playoff implications as is? So rest him, maybe rest other starters. We'll get to that in a minute. But that's potentially a factor here on Matt Nagy's mind. I know he has said that they're all in, but I don't want to get too ahead of myself here. But with Kyle Long, they do have some luxury here in that, well, a couple different things. One, Brian Witzman himself, we've talked about him a lot on this podcast. He has not been great. He has not been a high-quality offensive lineman, but they've done a decent job as a unit with Kyle Long sidelined. That, you know, Brian Witzman makes his share of mistakes. He makes a few nice plays mixed in there as well. He hasn't been giving up a ton of pressure, but his overall pass blocking has been real up and down overall, and he's getting the job done. It's not this glaring need that, oh man, this Bears offensive line is a huge hole at right guard. Get Kyle Long back out there as soon as possible. And the other nice thing is they don't have to, you know, activate him but by the end of the regular season. You know, that's not a stipulation of the designated to return from injured reserve rules. It's not a regular season thing. They can totally wait until after week 17. I mean, you can activate him at any time after that, however many week, that 6 or 8 week period after he was injured. You know, that is, once he returns to practice, I think he has like a 21-day window, but those are the only stipulations affecting when he can return. That he can return in the playoffs. It's not like the NBA and I think baseball as well, where you're locked into your playoff roster and you can't make a ton of changes there. They can wait as long as they want with Kyle Long. So, you know, if they potentially earned a first-round bye, for example, they don't have to activate him for another 2 weeks, and they could give him two more Sundays off if they didn't play him against the Vikings, and maybe that's another potential factor here, that, you know, if you bring him back in week 17, knowing the foot maybe isn't 100%, you know, are you limiting his ability to get even closer to 100% if maybe 2 weeks off, if, you know, this Vikings game and a potential first-round bye could get him even better for that first playoff game in the divisional round. So a lot of different things that go into it. And, you know, Matt Nagy is going to be the only one that really knows what Kyle Long's status will be and, you know, how much they can push him back. But it's clear we are one major step closer to seeing this right guard back on the field. And it's always a good thing when you get high quality, consistent, talented players back on the field just in time for the playoffs. And your fantasy football playoffs might be over, but that doesn't mean it's too late to get in on the fun with DraftKings, the leader in one-week fantasy sports. Draft a new team every week with no season-long commitments. You are the GM. Just choose your players, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against mine and the rest of the competition. No matter your skill level, there is a contest waiting for you at DraftKings. If you've been thinking about trying one-week fantasy football, now is the time to play, because I'm telling you, nothing makes Football Sunday more exciting than when you have a DraftKings lineup on the line with millions of dollars of prizes all up for grabs. Go to DraftKings.com or download the app today. Use the promo code LOCKEDON to enter a contest for free this weekend with your first deposit and compete for your share of over $1.5 million in total prizes. That's code Locked On, LOCKEDON, only at DraftKings. The game inside the game. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Up next, we dive into the debate. Should the Bears rest any starters next week against the Minnesota Vikings? Keep it locked right here on Locked On Bears. Thank you for tuning in to Locked On Bears. I hope you all had a Merry Christmas, or if you don't celebrate that holiday, I hope you enjoyed some time off with your family, and maybe you're back to work this week. Maybe you have the luxury of taking it off, but either way, I appreciate you spending your time tuning in for more daily Bears news and analysis. And well, the big debate this week is going to be all about whether or not Chicago should rest some or all starters in week 17 against the Minnesota Vikings. And I wonder if part of that is why the Vegas betting line in this game has the Vikings favored fairly significantly, but I think that's a whole other rant for a whole another day. But you look at this contest, and the Bears are in an interesting situation, because even if they win against the Vikings, that's not a guarantee that they'll move anywhere in the playoff standings. And I want to dive into the potential playoff scenarios a little bit more in a second, but clearly they need some help from the Los Angeles Rams losing to the San Francisco 49ers to still potentially earn that first round bye. So it does beg the question that, Well, given what we've seen from the 49ers, a 4-11 football team taking on the Los Angeles Rams, who, you know, albeit they were vulnerable to the Bears and some other teams in recent weeks, they're still one of the three best teams in the NFC this season. Chances seem low at best that you're going to see the Los Angeles Rams, with something to play for here, lose to the San Francisco 49ers in a Week 17 divisional game in Los Angeles. And so it does lend some potential credence to the idea of, you know, letting some of these Bears starters sit. That, you know, give Mitchell Trubisky some time to continue to work and, you know, don't risk him getting injured, because you're not winning any playoff games with Chase Daniel under center. And maybe you let Jordan Howard rest up a little bit and Tariq Cohen rest up a little bit. And, you know, you don't rush Kyle Long back. Maybe you get some of these younger offensive linemen in there, like a Rashad Coward, for example, who hasn't been able to really play this season, been just a healthy scratch for almost every game. And, you know, you can put Eric Kush in there, and maybe you let James Daniels keep getting experience. But even at receiver, don't need to push Allen Robinson out there. You don't need to push Taylor Gabriel out there. Get Anthony Miller and Juwan Wims some snaps. I mean, there would be some real value to potentially getting some of your younger players in there and sitting some of your starters, given the chances are low to potentially earn a first-round bye. But I know we've heard from Matt Nagy, both on Sunday and Monday, kind of talking about this situation. And he said the Bears are going to play to win. You know, they don't go into any game not expecting to win. But he did concede a little bit on Monday about trying to be smart about whether or not they should potentially start sit some starters. And I wanted to play his quick take on the kind of situation he finds himself in and why he might just be open to the idea given the right situation. And I think he is taking the absolute smart way to do this. And I think I just want to emphasize what his standpoint is and why I think that's absolutely the right idea.
Would it be a consideration if you got to halftime and you saw the score of the Rams game was, you know, 28-0 LA, to then pull your starters out second half?
You have to be realistic in some of this. I don't know what that number is or where it's at, and it's going to be hard because you're so focused in on your own game. You know, I don't even know where they flash the scores at in our own stadium with the games. So we'll have to have we'll have a plan in regards to being smart. You got to be smart about it. I mean, if it's a complete blowout and word gets to me about that, and, you know, then we have to figure out what the best thing is for us. But we're trying to, you know, we're going to win this football game. And I don't want our guys, our coaches, our players, I don't want anybody thinking any different. But I think in our situation, it's such a unique situation that there's I think it can be, any way you look at it, it could be criticized from any angle. So I don't know if there's 100% a right answer other than saying we're doing everything we possibly can to win. And then I think it's one of those deals where as you go, you got to just kind of get a feel of your own game, and you got to get a feel of what's going on in that game, because that other game does matter with the Rams.
So obviously the Bears and the Rams playing at the same time makes the situation a little bit difficult. And there's a couple different schools of thought here that I can see where you might think, well, you know, you play the starters in the first half, so why not just play them in the second half? You know, they've already played a half of a game. Is it really going to make that much of a difference when they've already taken some hits already and it's just two more quarters of football? But personally, I see it from the perspective of, you never know on any one given play, especially we were just talking about Kyle Long. You think back to his injury with the foot. It was in the fourth quarter of that Bears-Jets game. Bears were up 24-10, just running the ball, running out the clock, and Kyle Long's foot just happens to get rolled up on, and all of a sudden he's on injured reserve and misses, what would that be, 8 games so far? So I would definitely agree with the idea that, yeah, if you can tell that the Rams are up quite a bit and that game is pretty much out of reach, absolutely rest as many of your starters as you can, because on any one play, even when you're just running out the clock, if you're not taking a knee, it is an injury risk on every play. A small one, just as it would be on any other play, but if you have no reason to be playing your other starters, you know, if the Rams are already up a bunch, and then all of a sudden the result of your game doesn't matter that much, that's always a benefit to your team. The risk you do run is that how much of a lead is too much of a lead for those Los Angeles Rams. Is 28-0 enough to say, okay, the Rams are going to win? I mean, we've seen crazy things happen on any given Sunday, and I imagine the Bears will do a pretty good job of not just monitoring the score of the Rams 49ers game, but actually kind of keeping track of how it's going. You know, is it really a total blowout, or are the Rams still a little bit vulnerable? Are the 49ers just kind of keeping it close and not getting in the end zone? Or is this a catastrophic failure for the 49ers and it is really game over? The Bears do need to be smart about it, but I do think there should at some point potentially be a point in this Bears-Vikings game that they should rest some starters given their situation with the Rams. I mean, unless the Rams are really at a risk of losing, which seems unlikely, chances are the Bears should have an opportunity to rest starters. It just won't be before kickoff. But really, it is a luxury of a discussion to be having in Week 17, and not something I don't think Bears fans have been able to talk about for a long time, potentially resting starters heading into the playoffs, but it's a lot of fun, and it's a fun time of year to be rooting for this team. So many different scenarios going on in the playoffs, and that's what we're going to be talking about next on Locked On Bears. Well, the playoffs are right around the corner here on Locked On Bears, so I wanted to take this opportunity to kind of look at some of the different potential playoff scenarios for the Chicago Bears and really for the rest of the NFC here as far as brackets and matchups as far as results go with Week 17. So as we all know, the Bears can still get from the 3 seed they're currently in to the 2 seed that the Rams are currently in, which is a first-round bye, if the Bears win and the Rams lose to the San Francisco 49ers. That is the ideal Chicago Bears situation for Week 17. A Bears win and a Rams loss gets the Bears the first-round bye and that number 2 seed. Otherwise, the Bears are locked into the 3 seed because right now it is the Dallas Cowboys in the 4 seed. Their record is not close enough to the Bears that one game would matter. I believe the Dallas Cowboys are sitting at 9-6. So even if they win, they'd be at 10-6. Bears, if they lost, they'd be 11-5. Bears are still the 3 seed. Cowboys are still the 4 seed because they won their division. So there is no possibility of the Bears playing the Cowboys in the first round or having that really affect anything with those NFC East teams. But what is still up for grabs, I suppose, is mainly the 6th playoff spot, which again would affect who the Bears play there, because the Seattle Seahawks have clinched a playoff berth as one of the 2 wild card teams. They're not going to be able to compete with the Rams for the NFC West title anymore, but because they too are 9-6 like the Dallas Cowboys, they have a spot already locked in for them even if they lose. And basically, the only 2 teams still in the playoff hunt in the NFC for that 6th wildcard spot are the Minnesota Vikings and the Philadelphia Eagles. So even if the Bears beat the Vikings, that doesn't necessarily eliminate them from the playoffs based on how the Philadelphia Eagles do. And the Eagles in Week 17 will be at Washington facing whatever's left of that roster, also in this 3:30, 3 o'clock time slot. So it's all going to be happening at the same time. The NFC playoff picture will be totally decided in that 3 o'clock time slot. But if the Vikings beat the Bears, they are automatically in the playoffs, and it doesn't really matter what had happened in the Eagles game because the Vikings would rise to 9-6-1, and the best the Philadelphia Eagles can finish the season is 9-7. So that tie versus that loss just would happen to elevate the Vikings up to that final playoff spot. However, they are still kind of determining based on where the Seattle Seahawks finish in their game with the Arizona Cardinals, that will determine the final seeding. Again, another 3 o'clock afternoon game on Sunday, because if the Vikings win, then it will be based off of whether or not the Seahawks win. If the Seahawks lose and the Vikings win, then the Seahawks would fall to 9-7. The Vikings would be 9-6-1, and therefore the Vikings would move to the 5 seed. The Seahawks would move to the 6 seed, and the Bears will play the 6 seed as that number 3 seed. But if the Seahawks win, then they'll be at 10-6, and the Vikings would be in that 6 seed. So basically, if the Seahawks win, they will not play the Bears. If the Seahawks lose, they will most likely play the Bears unless the Vikings lose and the Eagles win. Then the Eagles and Seahawks would both be sitting at 9-7, and I am not totally sure how to calculate the proper tiebreakers when it comes to two teams in the playoffs. I know they go like based off of head-to-head, win-loss tied percentage in games played within the NFC and winning percentage in common games, and then strength of victory, strength of schedule, combined ranking among conference teams in terms of points scored and points allowed. There's literally 11 criteria for a tiebreaker, and the last one being a total coin toss if for some reason there are just too many ties through the first 10. So it's a really complicated number, and honestly, I'm not sure if I can possibly calculate that between a potential Seahawks and Eagles both sitting at 9-7. But it's going to be one of those three teams against the Bears in the first round if the Bears do not get that first round bye. Obviously, they faced the Minnesota Vikings this season. They'll have faced them twice heading into the playoffs. They beat the Seattle Seahawks earlier in the season, and right now the Philadelphia Eagles are relying on Nick Foles, who still has a rib injury of his own, and I believe is still set to kind of play through it, but it is not a great time right now for the Eagles, despite them winning two games in a row and four out of the last five. They have struggled and played pretty close games against some tough teams, and we'll see how it all plays out. It's Eagles versus Washington, it's Seahawks versus Cardinals, it is Rams versus 49ers, and it is, of course, Bears versus Vikings, all in that 3 o'clock time slot on Sunday to shape out the NFC playoffs. Like I said, it's a fun situation for the Bears to have to be in, and not a worry that they've had in really many recent seasons. So enjoy it, enjoy the complication, enjoy the chaos, and look forward to an extended Chicago Bears season into the postseason. We will be here on Locked On Bears, however deep they go on this run, whether it's one game or it's the big game. We will be right here for all of your daily Chicago Bears news and analysis. I hope you'll subscribe to the podcast to keep up with everything we'll be putting out in the coming weeks here. We may still try and get a Locked On Vikings crossover episode this week to really get the scoop on what the Bears are going to face on Sunday from the local expert. But I know Christmas kind of threw off the schedule here, so we couldn't really get it done for Wednesday. So I've been in talks already here with our host of Locked On Vikings. That is our new guy, Lucas Braun, over there. A good guy really getting things going back in. It would be fun, some fun back and forth division talk if we can get that squared away. But either way, we'll be bringing you lots of Bears talk, and you can get even more of it on the Locked On Bears Facebook group. Just go on Facebook and search Locked On Bears group and join in with the discussion coming every single day over there with some of the most dedicated and loyal listeners of this very podcast. Everybody in the Locked On Bears Facebook group knows how to bear down.